Good afternoon, it's 4:30 and 61 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Nacogdoches Miller.
It's a little large now for our needs, but it's something that we are planning on growing into.
Rowan County has purchased a building for use for its ambulance service.
The Rowan County Public Library will host Women's History event this week.
The BBB released their scam tracker report for 2019.
Morehead State University has suspended international travel for students.
Tennessee's deadly tornadoes may have touched down in the bluegrass.
Kentucky's governor is urging employers to offer paid sick time.
The Senate will review a new version of an animal abuse bill.
In sports, Morehead State men's basketball begins OVC postseason play tonight.
Bud Luke has a stock report.
Increasing clouds tonight with a low around 33. We'll have a look at your region's extended weather forecast after this news.
Rowan County will have a new ambulance service building soon. The fiscal court has purchased the Morehead State University's procurement building on American Legion Way for $1,700,000. The building will house ambulance services, providing an upgrade from the temporary facility the vehicles have been held in since 2011. Rowan County Judge Executive Harry Clark says the building will provide much-needed space for emergency vehicles.
The future is to get them into the building, into the office complex, get our ambulances in a secure environment. And then long term, we believe that we will move the road department from its current location to that location, which will utilize the remaining warehouse space.
The retrofit of the procurement building will be under MSE of Kentucky Incorporated, which will follow new federal and state guidelines for structures housing emergency services.
The Preserve Your Heritage Genealogy Club will be hosting a Women's History Month event tomorrow evening. The program, titled Cora Wilson Stewart, Eliminating Illiteracy, will take place at the Rowan County Public Library. Cindy Leach is a local historian and genealogy manager at the library. She says the program will give insight to Stewart's life and accomplishments.
She was the founder of the Moonlight Schools and did a whole lot for literacy in Kentucky and everywhere. And she was a school superintendent, and she did a lot of stuff that was good for the educational system.
The program will be presented by Dr. Yvonne Baldwin, the retired chair of the Department of Geography, Government, and History at Morehead State University. It will get underway at 6 o'clock.
The Better Business Bureau released their annual Scam Tracker report for 2019. Employment scams remained number one for the second year in a row. Heather Cleary is the Director of Communications for the BBB in Lexington. She says many job scams will use legitimate websites, then have a victim begin using their personal bank account to transfer funds.
Or another popular one, they will send packages to your home. They call you a logistics inspector or something like that, quality control, where they want you to inspect the packages, wrap them back up, ship them on to someone else. It just ends up luring you into a chain of moving stolen merchandise or merchandise that was bought with stolen credit cards, and you could end up in legal trouble yourself.
Cryptocurrency scams were listed second on the report this year. Other notable cons included online purchases, fake checks, advance fee loans, and romance scams. The full scam tracker report can be found online at bbb.org/riskreport.
The theft of road signs is an ongoing problem in Magoffin County. If someone is caught stealing a sign, they could face a hefty fine or jail time. Magoffin County Judge Executive Matthew Wireman tells WYMT his team is taking steps to correct these problems.
And we are putting them in with a 3-foot anchor base. We put a 10-foot pole down in there so the sign stands 7 feet tall. So we're going to start putting a couple of those out where we're in areas that we believe the signs may be tampered with, because we went through a transition with 911 where the road names don't necessarily match the county road names. But if we've got those road signs up there with county road numbers on them, you can pretty well know where that road is.
Wireman says lives are put in danger when signs are stolen.
Tornadoes that devastated Tennessee appear to have touched down in Kentucky. KNN's Haley Hansen reports.
The National Weather Service in Louisville sent a team down to southern Kentucky to investigate storm damage. The team confirmed that a preliminary EF2 tornado with peak winds of 115 miles per hour touched down in southern Warren County. Damage was reported throughout the area, including down power lines and trees. While it does not appear that anyone was injured in Kentucky, neighboring Tennessee saw close to 24 deaths at the hands of the tornadoes. I'm Haley Hansen.
Nighttime tornadoes present those residing in Kentucky with unique challenges. Many people want visual confirmation in addition to notification of a tornado warning, but at night, this isn't possible. Joe Sullivan is the warning coordination meteorologist for the National Weather Service in Louisville. He tells WKTY there are steps to correct this problem.
The important thing is you've got to have really good situation awareness. And what that means is you pay attention when the weather's bad. If you don't have to get up early in the morning, in that case, if it looks like it's really bad off to your west and heading your way, stay tuned to the local weather and watch to see what people are, what the TV meteorologists are telling them, because they're there for that purpose.
It's also helpful to set up push notifications for the local weather app.
Morehead State University has suspended all student and employee international travel for the time being. The university announced the decision to suspend all international travel through May 1st after the recommendation to all universities from the Centers for Disease Control. The suspension will allow time for MSU to evaluate the status of various programs and areas to determine what summer travel might encounter. Employees who have international travel planned between now and May 1st using personal funds are recommended to take careful consideration on the location of travel, the duration, and are encouraged to review the CDC and other agency updates related to that area.
The University of Kentucky is tightening its travel restrictions as cases of the coronavirus known as COVID-19 continue to spread across the globe. WKY's Josh James has details.
The university is adding two names to the list of countries where it is suspending sponsored travel by students, faculty, and staff. With new warnings from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the school says effective immediately, UK will no longer pay for trips to Italy and Iran, both of which have been tagged with heightened travel warnings by the U.S. State Department. The university had already halted paid travel to South Korea and China, the epicenter of the outbreak. In a campus-wide email, UK President Eli Capilouto said the school is evaluating the possible effects on its summer education abroad programs. With spring break approaching, the school is urging students to stay on top of CDC and State Department guidance regarding international travel. An updated list of countries where UK is halting paid travel can be found at uknow.uky.edu. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes in the Laughlin Building are open to the public for birthday parties, youth groups, by-the-hour or per-game pricing. Cosmic Bowling features disco and black lights, open Tuesday through Saturday from 5 to 9 p.m. For more information and reservations, the phone number is 606-776-3457.
Governor Andy Beshear gave another update Tuesday on the state's preparedness for a possible outbreak of the coronavirus known as COVID-19. The governor is also urging employees to offer paid sick time for anyone who falls ill. As of Tuesday morning, the state was actively monitoring just 12 people for signs of the virus. That's down from a high of 122. On Monday, Beshear took part in a briefing for governors conducted by Vice President Mike Pence, the head of the Centers for Disease Control, and other federal health officials.
We're going to be providing them a list of potential needs.
Still, Beshear stresses the current threat in the Commonwealth as low, but now is the time to prepare, and that includes thinking ahead about possible work disruptions.
A bill granting Kentucky veterinarians legal protections if they report suspected animal abuse to law enforcement has cleared a Senate committee. Currently, veterinarians need a waiver, subpoena, or court order to alert authorities of possible animal abuse. Backers of Senate Bill 21 hope to change that. Here's sponsor C.B. Embry.
We remain the only state in the nation that does not allow veterinarians to report abuse when they become aware of it, and we need to correct that shortcoming.
It's one of several measures that has landed Kentucky on near the bottom of animal welfare surveys for years. The new versions of the bill now heads to the Senate.
Both chambers of the Kentucky General Assembly have approved new voter ID requirements. WUKY's Josh James has more.
Under the measure, voters would be required to show a photo ID or display a credit, debit, or social security card and sign an affirmation. Opponents pleaded with the bill's supporters to reconsider, arguing the measure would disenfranchise low-income, minority, disabled, and elderly voters. Charles Booker is a Democrat from Louisville who is running for U.S. Senate.
The 15th Amendment doesn't say you have a right to vote unless you have an ID. It says you have a right. Let's honor that right.
Proponents, however, maintain the measure is about ensuring election integrity. Representative James Tipton.
My support for Senate Bill 2 is not about an attempt to suppress somebody's vote. I want everybody to vote, but I want every vote to be secure.
Discussion of election year politics often spilled into the floor debate, with Democrats more than hinting that they see the bill as favorable to Republican Senator Mitch McConnell's reelection campaign. GOP representatives said the bill represents the will of the voters who elected Republican Secretary of State Michael Adams, who ran on implementing voter ID. Senate Bill 2 won passage in the House on a 62-35 vote, suggesting the voter ID law could overcome a gubernatorial veto. In Frankfort, I'm Josh James reporting.
The University of Kentucky Police Department has issued an alert following a report of an attempted armed robbery on campus. WKYT reports the alert was sent out at 4:15 a.m. Wednesday morning. Police said two suspects armed with a gun reportedly tried to rob two female students on Rose Lane at Alice Ford Place. After other witnesses intervened, police said the suspects fled in a black Ford SUV. Anyone with information is asked to call the UK Police Department at 859-257-8573.
A Missouri man is in custody after falling into an Ashland Police online sting. WMKY's Rachel Turner has the story.
32-year-old Larry Robeson Bridges of Springfield, Missouri, was charged in Boyd County on Monday with one count of distributing a sexually explicit photograph without consent in an attempt to use a minor in a sexual performance. He is currently held in county jail on a $10,000 bond. Ashland Daily reports Robeson Bridges believed he was talking to a 15-year-old over a dating app. After being told repeatedly the account was of a teenager, the citation shows Robeson Bridges sent unprovoked images of his privates and then asked the teen to return the favor. Robeson Bridges was actually messaging an adult police officer. Robeson Bridges is due in court on March 11th for a preliminary hearing. For WMKY News, I'm Rachel Turner.
An Eastern Kentucky man has been arrested in Pike County for federal crimes. 34-year-old Oscar Calhoun was arrested last Friday and has been indicted on three counts of distributing child pornography. LEX 18 reports court records say Calhoun allegedly sent the illicit material to two other men. Since Calhoun has been previously convicted of child pornography and sex abuse in Illinois, he now faces up to 40 years in prison. He's being held in the Pike County Detention Center without bond. Taking a look at the weather for the WMKY listening area. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 33. Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 56. Thursday night, a 30% chance of showers, partly cloudy with a low around 34. Friday, a chance of rain and snow, mostly cloudy with a high near 40. Chance of precipitation is 30%. Friday night, partly cloudy with a low around 26. Saturday, sunny with a high near 48. Saturday night, clear with a low around 29. Sunday, sunny with a high near 62, and Sunday night, partly cloudy with a low around 43.
Taking a look at temperatures around the region, it's 60 degrees in Lexington and Winchester, 61 degrees in Mount Sterling, Ashland, and Grayson. It's 62 degrees over in Inez, and here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University, it is 61 degrees. Thanks for tuning in to Mountain Edition this afternoon. Morehead State Public Radio's spring fundraiser and membership drive is going on now. Credit cards are accepted and payroll deduction is available for Morehead State University employees. You can help support public radio and make your gift on our website at wmky.org or give us a call right now. Our student work study Shamari Mosley is out there ready to take your call. If you call us at 606-783-2001, That's 606-783-2001. Or again, you can go online to make your donation at WMKY.org. It's so important that you become a member, not only because you show that you're supporting public radio, but you're also showing your support of these student work studies. We definitely could not have these work studies if it wasn't for the generous donations of our listeners. We are able to give these students an opportunity to work with us in a professional news environment and gain hands-on experience in a professional newsroom that they can take and put on their resume and help them get careers jump-started once they finish their degree. Now, Nacogdoches Miller is here in the Larry Netherton studio with me this afternoon. And, Nack, you have been with us for 2 years now?
Going on a little over 2 years, I think.
A little over 2 years. And I guess you do a lot here. You do Morning Edition, which is one of our shifts that the students do that you have to be pretty trustworthy to come into Morning Edition. I do not know of you ever being late, and you have to be here at 5 o'clock in the morning, which is commendable because that's really early. So we appreciate that you come in and do that. Tell me a little bit about why working here at Morehead State Public Radio has been important to you.
We've talked a lot about the hands-on training that student gets and student work studies get that helps in the real world. And I was afforded an internship over last summer, and I think I was one of the things that helped me get that was the training that I received while working here at the radio station as a work study. The ability of coming in and learning how to make a phone call and talk with somebody and just start asking questions, it helps in a lot of other fields as well. Working for the newspaper before I ever went in to the internship, I just went into the town a couple hours early and walked around and just started talking to people and asking what they enjoy doing in the town and places that they like to go to, just so I kind of had an idea of what places I might be going to if I started working there. And I completely think and believe that the training I got from here of being just thrown into talking to people randomly and learning how to ask questions and stuff.
I think it's funny that all the students say I was thrown in, and it cracks me up every time one of you guys say that, because I definitely do not let these students dangle into the fire. I know that's how you guys all feel, but you know, part of my job as a mentor here at Morehead State Public Radio is kind of to assess a student's ability and kind of watch them grow and see, okay, you know, first they're just ready maybe to write a reader, and maybe they're ready to voice something up for me before they're ready to conduct an interview or go live on the air to do midday with me maybe. And a lot of students are really nervous every time I give them something new to do, and they always think that they can't do it. But you know, my job is to assess that, and I always know that they're ready for it, even when they don't know themselves. So it makes me laugh when you guys say it, thrown into it. It's so funny. But if it's important to you, our listener, to continue to make sure we can continue to support that mission, to help students get hands-on experience and spend time here in a professional news environment, give us a call right now. Help us continue this mission. 606-783-2001 is the number to call, or you can go online to our secure site, WMKY.org. Click on the Support Us tab, and that'll take you to a secure form to fill out. Please let us know some feedback about what programming you enjoy. Maybe there's some things that you don't particularly like. We want to hear that too, because that is really important feedback, and it helps us make programming decisions. Give us a call right now. 606-783-2001 is the number to call, or online at WMKY.org. It's currently 4:49. It's 60 degrees here on the beautiful campus of dear old MSU. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, and I'm here with Nacogdoches Miller and Sarah Mead and Shamari Mosley. We're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Thank you again so much for joining us on this lovely Wednesday afternoon. Keneally Roberts has a look at sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Downtown Morehead Incorporated and the Kentucky Folk Art Center, presenting the Morehead Antique and Art Market, March 6th and 7th at the Morehead Conference Center. Vendors from Kentucky, Ohio, and West Virginia, juried art market and professional appraisers, 5 to 9 p.m. on Friday, March 6th, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday, March 7th. The Morehead Antique and Art Market, March 6th and 7th at the Moorhead Conference Center in downtown Moorhead.
The Eagles are headed to the Ohio Valley Conference. For WMKY Sports, I'm Keneally Roberts. Moorhead State men's basketball will begin Ohio Valley Conference postseason play tonight at the Ford Center in Evansville, Indiana. The Eagles qualified as the number 8 seed and will face 5th-seeded Tennessee State. Though it's been a tough year for his team, MSU head coach Preston Spradlin says the season isn't over yet.
There's still a chance, and we've got a group full of fighters. And that's what we're going to keep doing. And so as long as we've got that opportunity, I'm not going to have that end of the season, end of the career conversation with our team and with those two seniors.
MSU and Tennessee State split 2 games in the regular season. They will tip off for the third time tonight at 7:30 p.m. A win would pit the Eagles against rival Eastern Kentucky, the 4th seed, on Thursday. The Moorhead State softball team looks to build on a 4-8 start to its 2020 campaign when it travels to Ohio Chillicothe for a doubleheader at VA Memorial Stadium today. First pitch of Game 1 between the Eagles and Hilltoppers is slated for 4 p.m. The game will mark the program's first matchup against OU Chillicothe, who competes in the Ohio Regional Campus Conference. In 2019, the Hilltoppers won the ORCC Regular Season Championship. The head coach for Eastern Kentucky University's men's basketball team has been named the Ohio Valley Conference Coach of the Year. Coach A.W. Hamilton managed to flip the Colonel's OVC record from year to year, finishing 6-12 last year, then bouncing back to 12-6 this year. Coach Hamilton tells EKU Athletics it's been a wild ride.
Yeah, really proud of our group, Stotts, and how we've come together, how we've grown, how we've matured. You and I talked about it in the beginning of the season. One of the things that was going to be an issue for us was our maturity, because we're just young, and we've really matured and become a really good basketball team.
EKU is set to face off against the winner of tonight's game between Moorhead State and Tennessee State tomorrow night at 7:30. Moorhead State women's basketball freshman Ariel Kirkwood has been tabbed as the 2020 Ohio Valley Conference Defensive Player of the Year. WMKY's Joe Lewis has more.
Kirkwood blocked 82 shots, swiped 48 steals, and averaged over 8 rebounds per game in becoming the Moorhead State women's program's first OVC Defensive Player of the Year. The freshman also became Moorhead State's first individual to be selected to the conference's second team and all-newcomer team while picking up Player of the Year honors. Kirkwood's 82 block shots are a Moorhead State freshman record and 5th most in a single season, regardless of class. Nationally, Kirkwood's block shot total leads all guards and is second among freshmen while being the 10th most overall in NCAA Division I. During the 2019-2020 season, Kirkwood recorded a team-best 7 double-doubles and finished with a stat line of 10.4 points, 8.5 rebounds, 2.4 assists, 1.6 steals, and 2.7 blocks per game. Kirkwood started in all 30 games and played a team-high 32.3 minutes per game. Kirkwood and the Eagles now look to prepare for their 2021 season. Looking forward, head coach Greg Todd says he believes the talented guard will continue to up her game and be a factor for Moorhead State on the hardwood over the next 3 seasons. For WMKY Sports, I'm Joe Lewis.
The 16th Region Boys Tournament begins tonight at Moorhead State University. In first round action tonight, 63rd District champions Lewis County will face off with Bath County. The Lions beat the Wildcats when the two teams met during regular season play. Tip-off tonight is set for 6:30 p.m. West Carter meets Boyd County in the nightcap game. The 18 and 14 Lions beat the Comets early in the season, but West comes in with a 62 district championship. Game time tonight is set for 8 p.m. Boys first round action continues tomorrow night with Ashland Blazer facing Russell at 6:30 and Rowan County meets East Carter at 8 p.m. We'll have scores from tonight's games tomorrow on Morning Edition. The Rowan County boys basketball team is gearing up for their first round appearance in the 16th regional tournament. The Vikings will face off with East Carter Thursday night. The Vikings beat the Raiders during regular season play and come into the tourney with a 25-7 record. Head coach Sean Thacker says the Raiders will be ready to test his team.
I'm sure Coach Baker will have his team prepared, and like always, I'm sure we'll have to be ready for anything that he might try to throw out there at us. And you know, we got some days to prepare. We're able to give the kids a couple of days off, and then got back in the gym yesterday and had a really good practice. So our kids are excited about the opportunity as well. And we just gotta stay focused on the task at hand and make sure that we're as prepared as we can be.
Tip-off tomorrow night at Johnson Arena is set for 8 p.m. And finally in sports this afternoon, the NCAA is ruling out no contingencies when it comes to coronavirus and the NCAA tournament. In an interview with Bloomberg News, Chief Operating Officer Donald Remy did not dismiss the possibility of games being played with no fans in arenas. The games presumably would still be televised. The NCAA declined further comment to the Associated Press on the possibility of no fans in the stands. Also, the NCAA announced it has established a coronavirus advisory panel of medical, public health, and epidemiology experts and NCAA schools. NCAA Chief Medical Officer Dr. Brian Hanlon will lead the group. This comes as Chicago State University said its men's basketball team will not travel for two regularly scheduled Western Athletic Conference games this week, and its women's team will not host two games, citing the spread of the coronavirus. The school said in a statement that it was making the move with the health and well-being of the campus community in mind. The cancellations are believed to be the first by a major sport in the United States. And that's going to do it for sports this afternoon. For WMKY, I'm Keneally Roberts.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics online at MSUEagles.com. Baseball hosts Belmont this weekend, and softball will host Dayton on Wednesday, March 11th. Also on March 11th, beach volleyball welcomes North Alabama. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at MSUEagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks surged as major victories from former Vice President Joe Biden during Super Tuesday sparked a massive rally within the healthcare sector, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 1,173.45 at 27,090.86. The S&P 500 was up 126.74 at 3,130.11, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 334 at 9,018.09. With today's rally, all three major averages have moved out of correction territory, meaning they are now less than 10% below their 52-week highs. The tech-heavy NASDAQ has actually turned positive for the year, up about 0.5% since January 1st. And, of course, Biden scored key primary victories in a number of states, including North Carolina, Texas, and Arkansas, giving his campaign momentum and increasing his odds of being the Democratic Party's presidential nominee. And, of course, this helped out healthcare stocks tremendously, as, of course, Bernie Sanders has been campaigning against the medical industry. The healthcare sector itself was up almost 6%, posting its best day since 2008. United Health Group was up over 10%, and Centene was up over 15%. The major averages also got a boost from strong economic data as the U.S. services sector expanded at a faster-than-expected pace in the month of February. According to ADP and Moody's Analytics, private payrolls jumped by 183,000 last month, which did top expectations. In the commodities markets, oil was down 0.2% at $47.09 a barrel. Gold was down 0.3% at $1,639.40 an ounce. In Europe, stocks had a good day with the Stock 600 index up 1.38%. Asia was overnight performed well with the Shanghai Composite up 0.5%, and South Korea's KOSPI index up 2.25%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Fifth Third Bank up 73 cents at $25.17, Dollar General up 370 at $160.12, UPS up 452 at $95.82, Marathon Petroleum up 68 cents at $45.85, and Anthem was up $40.13, finishing at $296.51. Reporting from the National Offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
Support for MSPR comes from Radio Eye, Kentucky's statewide daily reading service for the blind and visually impaired. Radio Eye's reading service offers newspapers, magazines, health materials, and grocery ads for independent living to people who are blind, visually impaired, or any disability that makes reading difficult or impossible. Radios are available to qualified applicants. More information is available by calling 859-422-6390 or online at radioeye.org.
WMKY's spring fundraiser and membership drive is your chance to be part of live and local public radio from Morehead State University.